it's been there for hundreds and hundreds of years, and you just don't know the people that labored so hard and so long to be a part of that church, to build that building and to make it what it is today. Well, here you are. You are those people who get to be on the groundwork, the foundation of a new church, something that wasn't here before but now is. God called it, God desired it, and it's here. And you're a part of it. So stick with us through this bump in the road. It's going to be a fun journey. So that was, of course, an exaggeration of people's general lack of knowledge of the Bible, and it's worth a good laugh. But as I was thinking about the video, I started wondering just how much of an exaggeration is it, really? If you were a part of our fair booth last summer, where we had this wheel and you spun the wheel and it had a question associated with the number, we were shocked at the level of biblical illiteracy there is among the people of Northeast Iowa. It was surprising. It was discouraging for some of us. I even invited a pastor that I knew. He was walking through the building. I said, oh, come, this is right up your alley. He said, no way, I'm not going to get into that. He was a pastor of a church in town. It was an eye-opening experience. People were always telling us, well, why are you guys starting a church in Decorah? There's a church in every street corner, they would say. Well, if there are, they're doing a pitiful job of teaching people about what the Bible really says, about the people, about the events, about the doctrines of the Bible. And so I want to be honest with you guys. Right here from the start, very straightforward concerning the mission of Lifehouse Church. The mission of this church, I'm telling you, Bob and I, we want more than anything, more than you can really understand. We want you to experience a full, abundant, satisfying life. We want you guys to get the most out of life. You get one crack. You get one chance, one life to live. And we want you to experience it to the full. That's why we found John 10:10 to be such a powerful verse in reference to Lifehouse Church. It really helped stimulate the decision of the name. John 10:10, Jesus said, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it to the full." And we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the only way you are going to get that kind of life is through a personal love relationship with Jesus Christ. That through faith and trust in Christ alone and His death on the cross as the payment for your sins, you are forgiven. More than that, you're holy. You've been given the very righteousness of Christ. Even more than that, the Holy Spirit comes into you. You belong to Him. You become in Christ, a child of God. He gives you the gift of eternal life. The list goes on. So in order to get a full, abundant, satisfying life, you've got to have Christ in your life. And once you've entered into that relationship with God, you need to live it. You need to be a disciple in the sense that you need to learn and grow in your understanding of God's universal plan and His personal plan for your life and for mine, His daily will for you. Romans 10:17 gives us a huge clue as to how to be a disciple. It says, faith comes from hearing the message And the message is heard through the word of Christ. Faith, that thing that you've got to have in order to please God. Faith, that thing that you have to have in order to have Christ, to have salvation. It comes from hearing the message. And the message is heard through the word of Christ. The Bible is what God has permitted to be assembled here on planet Earth as His expression of truth for our lives, the message of Christ. From that, you discover where to place your faith, how to place your faith, who to place your faith in. And that's what we want for your lives. That's why we make it a big deal. For you all, myself included, to be biblically literate. Because when you know the truth, well, it sets you free. We know that. It equips you. The truth equips you to know who Christ is, to know His will for your lives. And you discover it in the Scriptures. So we want you guys to be biblically literate so you have your faith in the right thing. And you have that source of power in your life to live it. It's the Holy Spirit. So, you know, to do this, to help you guys become biblically literate, we have, right off the bat, we started doing teaching outlines. And that wasn't because Bob and I said, well, we just need something to fill up our time. We need more to do. What could we do? No, it's for you. So that you can take notes. It helps you track with the message as it's being delivered. You can take it home and you can maybe review it as a Bible study later on. And we gave you these Lifetime Disciple three-ring binders. And I know I've been using them. Bob talks a lot. And I can contain the messages in this three-ring binder so that when I need to, I can go back to it and I can pull out various notes. And I said, gosh, what did he say? And I can pull it up and it's very, very helpful. And so if you don't have one, we've got extras. Yes, Darcy? Okay, they're in Adam's garage, but we'll have them here next week. But we do that because we want you guys to be biblically literate, and that is also why we are launching The Story. This 31-week series, which is a chronological walkthrough of the Bible. Wow. I'm telling you, what is it? I think Theodore Roosevelt said that a thorough knowledge of the Bible is worth more than a college education. So you're going to be smarter than most college graduates after we're done with this 31-week series. How about that, you know? I tell you. It's going to be an exciting journey. You know, most people are intimidated of the Bible. I mean, it's filled with hundreds of ancient stories, some of them separated by 4,000 years from us today. They call that historical distance. The historical distance is the time of the reader to the time of the original writing. And there's some huge gaps of historical distance there. That creates all sorts of strange things that we read about in the Bible, these odd customs of slaughtering doves and lambs and cows and things. And how about sleeping at the feet of your future husband? You know, it's just strange. Yeah, if you don't know what I'm talking about, you're going to learn about these things. There's just strange customs in there. And then you got these strange names, you know, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, and Methuselah, and names that we can't even pronounce, you know. It's one of the fun things about reading the Bible out loud is all of a sudden they get to a name and they butcher it bad. I just like, how do you say that? Well, these types of elements are because of the historical distance, different time, different culture, different country. And it makes correctly understanding and applying God's word to our lives a daunting task. And so people are intimidated by it. Well, let me tell you something. Just like God wants us to be able to approach the throne of grace with confidence. Can you imagine approaching the throne room of God? And he wants us to do it with confidence. That's in Hebrews chapter 4. Just like God wants that, I want you guys to be able to approach God's word of grace with confidence. To be able to come to this book and enjoy the journey. And be able to understand what God is trying to say. And be able to have a way of saying, okay, God, how now do you want me to live this out? To approach it with confidence. It's the story, and that's what we're going to be going through. Jenny, go ahead and start passing them out. Lord, guys, we've got the story. The story is the Bible, but it's not like the Bibles that you're going to find at the most of the bookstores. What it does is it has taken the sections of the Bible and put it together in a chronological order, taking out redundancies, taking out elements that would just be a repeat or not a part of the actual storyline, so that it reads like a novel. So finding specific chapters and verses in this book is going to be difficult. Think of it as taking the Bible and making it into a novel. That's what this is. That's what the story is. But the verses are straight from an English version of the scriptures, the NIV version. Okay? And so it's a fun read. In fact, who here knows what the word the Bible means? What does that word mean? The book. It means the book. Well, guess what? You just got the book. And we've got quite a few of those books. Adult versions are the hardcovers. Teen versions are the soft covers. I encourage anybody from 13 to maybe into college, past college maybe a little bit, to get the teen version. It has some specific questions in it that I think might be more relatable to where you're at. Whereas the adult version, the hardcovers, yeah, I'd take the soft cover if I was you. The hardcovers have different types of questions that might be more applicable to somebody farther along in life. We'll just say it that way. And so that's what we've got. I'm telling you guys, this is going to be cool. Because by the time we're done with the story, I trust you will have a firm grasp of biblical history, which you realize is his story. You realize that, right? History is his story. It's God's story. It's God's plan of redemption through the passage of time. 4,000 years working under different ages and different covenants to the point where now, guys, close to 2,000 years since the last book of the Bible was penned. His story now includes us. His story is now our story too. We are a part of it. And of course, if you've been tracking with our series through the book of Acts, you would already know that. Because we talked about that so much, how we are finishing what Jesus started. The taking this gospel message and taking it to the very ends of the earth as the church grows and adopts more and more and more people until Jesus comes back and takes us all home. We're now a part of his story. Isn't that amazing? You're a part of history. Right here. Right now. Let me ask you guys a question. How many of you, when you were reading a book, you cheated? I mean, you started the first couple of chapters and then you skipped everything and you just read the last chapter to see how it ended. Has anybody here done that? Okay, we have a few of you. Let me try to get a better response. How many out there have read a book? Has anybody? Okay, now we got a few more hands raised there. You've read a book. If you were to do that with the Bible, you would discover something very interesting. If you were to read the first chapter, really just the first verse, and then jump all the way to the end, you would find something Very interesting. In fact, you could just grab the story and you can open it to the first verse of the first chapter of the first book in the Bible, which is? Yeah, wow, you guys are better. You guys should have been on Jeopardy. Genesis 1:1. In the story, it is page 1. How convenient is that? And so this is probably the most well-known verse in the Bible. In the beginning, what? God created the heavens and the earth. That's how it all starts. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, if you were to jump all the way towards the back, close to the end, God's wrapping it up. It says mop-up operations are in full progress. And you go to page 467. It's the 467, actually, is where you want to be. The first sentence of the second paragraph is Revelation 21, verse 1. Okay, so this is right towards the end, not the very last verse, but close to the end. Revelation 21, 1 says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away." Okay, so in Genesis 1:1, you've got God creating the heavens and the earth. Now you have God do-over, creating a new heaven and a new earth. And when you read that, that should beg a question in the thinking mind. What on earth happened? What on earth happened? Between Genesis 1:1 and Revelation 21:1, what happened? If you can answer that question, you will discover the one seamless story of God. And that's what we're going to be doing. Next 31 weeks, discovering the one seamless story of God from beginning to end. And I want to launch this series right here and now by doing a little game show of our own. We're going to do Deal or No Deal. How many are familiar with that game show, Deal or No Deal? Okay, yeah, if you're not familiar with it, you can come to the game store. We've got lots of them in various formats. But Deal or No Deal, yeah, Howie Mandel is there. And I figured I've got the look going here a little bit. So we're going to do Deal or No Deal. Because you see, yeah, the story is designed to be a fully integrated experience with every aspect of the church and the family. What you experience here on Sunday morning will just be a small part of it. All right? So we want this to be a holistic experience so as to maximize what you get out of the story of God for your life. All right. So you need to decide which of these suitcases that we will be presenting to you, which of these suitcase challenges or offers you're going to take a risk and commit to. You can commit to just one or all of them. There's five. Okay, so here we go. Suitcase number one, Deal or No Deal, is personal reading. Personal reading. That's in the first suitcase. I tell you, the book, this story, has got 31 short chapters in it. 12 pages is the average size of each chapter. That's about 2 pages a day. Now, if you're like me, I'm not a very fast reader. So I was surprised when I was able to read the entire chapter in one sitting. For those of you who are fast readers, you could probably do 5 chapters in one sitting. But I'm just saying, if you're not a real fast reader or you're not a real big reader, you will have no problem. But let's say it's just reading doesn't come natural to you. It's just not easy. Well, we've got a solution for you. Bob has volunteered to come over to your house and read it to you. How can you knock that down? I mean, you can just get a nice glass of warm milk and a cookie, maybe some of the leftover cookies here, and snuggle up and Bob will come over and he'll just read the story to you. It's because he has so much extra time. All right, well, if that sounds just a little bit creepy to you, then you can actually go to the story website and there is a link there where they will read it to you. How awesome is that? I'm telling you. They have all sorts of neat things, personal study guides. They also have reading reminders, so you can, like, you know, get an email reminding you, read the story. So I'm telling you, we're trying to help you here. But that's pretty neat. I also want to encourage you guys to grab a journal, a notebook, little, you know, spiral binder, whatever. Grab a little book that you can write and journal your thoughts into so that every time you read a chapter, you can write down what you're thinking. You can write down questions. You can write down impressions that you get from God as you read each chapter. It will really enhance your experience in reading the story. So reading it and journaling it, deal or no deal? Well, we got a few people are going to make a deal on that. At least read the book. It's not that hard. Okay, so that's the first suitcase. Second suitcase is family time. Family time to read the story with your family. I know. Hold on. We got ways to bring you in on this. Okay. We really want to make this a big deal. To get together with your family, if you've got one close by, and read it out loud to them. Now, if you are a single, a college student or whatever, then I encourage you to meet with a friend. And one-on-one, you can read it together. Maybe even talk about it. I know. Actually, to talk about what you just read. This also will enhance and enrich your understanding and experience of reading the story. More than you realize. To read it with others. And who knows? Maybe after 31 weeks of doing that, you'll want to continue to get together with your family or with a friend and read the Bible. And keep doing that week after week. Who knows? That could happen. I also want to encourage you to consider doing this with somebody who is struggling at reading the Bible consistently. Somebody who just is, maybe they're just young in Christ. Maybe they're not even a Christian yet. But can think of them. In fact, I want to give you some time. Maybe God has brought somebody to mind. Maybe that person is you. Well, I'm the one that's struggling to read the Bible. I just don't do it. Well, maybe you need to think, I need to meet with somebody. Otherwise, I just know myself. I'm just not going to do it. If somebody has come to mind, write it down on your notes there. If you don't, we've got lots of notes here. This is not too hard, guys. We can help you out here. This is, write down the name of the person that has come to mind that God maybe has just impressed upon you right now to get with. Now, of course, for me, it's my family. But if there is somebody else, go ahead and write that name down so you don't forget. But to meet with them and to read the Bible together. And I wanted to let you guys know, it's okay if you end up reading the same chapter two or three times in a week. I know, it's okay. Let's say you read it yourself personally and you journal your thoughts. Then you get together with a friend or your family and you read it again. That's okay. You can do that. I just wanted to let you know you have my permission. In fact, I think you will find that you get a lot more out of it when you do that. Suitcase number three. Oh, wait. Deal or no deal? Reading it with your family or with a friend. Deal? Deal. We got a few people in on that one. Okay. Our next suitcase is small group. Now, of course, for me, my family is a small group. But let's be on that. You know, doing this as a small band of with other people is important because this gives you the encouragement and the accountability that you need to start the journey to get the most out of the journey and really to finish the journey. And, you know, I don't just mean reading the story, the journey of the story for 31 weeks. I'm talking about the journey of life, following Christ and walking with Him faithfully to the very end, to finish strong, to finish well. You need to have a small group of committed believers helping you through the trials and the travails of life on planet Earth. And so a small group can help you do that. They've done studies with people who have tried to quit smoking, and they've discovered that people who try to quit smoking using sheer willpower, that statistically, the percentage of success is 0%. It's like, by sheer willpower, they eventually go back to smoking. That's what they discovered. Well, if you had a tool to help you, let's say the nicotine patch, then the success rate is about 5% with the nicotine. Yeah, eventually they'll always go back. But if you have some sort of a tool and a support group, then the success rate goes up to 45%. It's a hard thing to kick the habit, you know. But 45% if you have a small group. Well, I've got several small groups. Of course, I've got my family is a small group, but I also meet with Josh and Todd most Wednesdays around 3 p.m.-ish. But we work it in, and we're practically done with the book of Revelation. I really hope that they'll all be in agreement that we're going to, together as a small group over there at Magpie, we're going to read the story. Rock on, man. That is so right, man. That is so right. And they also, on the story website, which is like thestory.com, they've got Bible studies for small groups that you can use to really help stimulate conversation. We've got a women's group that I believe is going to do that. The women's group meets Tuesdays, right? Tuesdays at 7? Yep. I think that the Luther Bible Study. We have a Bible study at Luther College. I now notice that Arthur's not here, but maybe we could do that. Yeah, Travis is there. So we could do that there. I'm going to end up reading the same chapter like 15 times. But nonetheless, but we have a Luther Bible Study. Even the house church could take the studies for the teen youth group. And also, for these small groups, they have little videos that kind of, you can watch like a 10-minute little video to help kick off your small group. So they're kind of fun. So that's another option, another way of being able to get together with people and read the story and get the most out of what God has communicated to us. Deal or no deal? Come on. Yeah, you're thinking that. We're going to take the deal. All right, suitcase number 5. This is the last suitcase. Four. Thank you. Four. Sunday mornings. Thank you. Sunday mornings. Hey, you're here. Sunday mornings. Bob and I will be teaching on the same chapter that you've been reading and rereading, potentially, each week. And we hope, it is our prayer, that we would teach as if it were the very words of God. And hopefully it is. Words of God. But that's how it's gonna be on our hearts. That this stuff, it's with fear and trembling that we're going to present to you our assessment, our understanding, and how God might even want to take God's word and apply it to all of you, to all of us together. And so we're really gonna put our hearts into this every Sunday morning. The Sunday school will also have topics that will be covering the same chapter at a kid level, so that our kids and maybe the kids of other families that join us, they will be able to go through the story at a level that they can understand and appreciate. Now, we really want you to make a decision to commit yourself to coming to church with us every Sunday morning so that you will be able to capture the whole story of God with your church family. Now, I can only think of two reasons why not to come to church on a Sunday morning. One is if it's canceled. I mean, you know, there could be such a traumatic situation, like, I mean, the tornadoes down south have been traumatic. Have you guys been praying for those affected by that? If there's any sort of natural disaster and we're not meeting as a church, I would recommend that you stay home. It just won't be the same. I mean, this echo factor will be multiplied if you're here and nobody else is. So if church is canceled, you know, don't come. Or let's say you're sick and contagious. Now, if you're just sick, come to church, you know, Julie did, you know, it's family. But if you're sick and contagious, then it's probably best to stay home. It's the loving thing to do. You know, it is. Seriously, I know there are many reasons why you can't make it on any given Sunday. I'm just saying, hey, could you make a commitment to say, I'm going to be there for the next 31 weeks. I'm going to do everything I can to be there and be a part of going through the story with my church family. Do you think you could do that? Deal or no deal? We got a few deals out there before I even could finish my no deal. Think about that. Yeah, make it a deal. This is a between you and God more than me, but hey, be a part. And guys, if you do miss any given Sunday, because I know life happens. Yeah, you guys are going to be in California, South Africa. There are some exceptions. Yeah. Nice. This is something, guys. If you do miss a Sunday, then make a point of it to go to the Lifehouse Church website and listen to the message so you can be a part of what everybody else is hearing. All right? Podcasts, yep. And that's Grace that puts those up. She does a great job. All right, now suitcase number 5. Volunteer to serve. Here's the deal. If you really want to know the story of God, you need to do it. Honestly, God has given us a warning. Knowledge puffs up. Love builds up. If all you do is come here and you fill your head with a lot of Bible knowledge, a lot of Bible trivia so you can win in Jeopardy, it will have been a failed effort. You've got to take God's truth and love people with it. Volunteer to serve. Jesus came to earth as a servant. Most people these days, they think they come to earth as a spectator. You know, they get to watch everybody else do it. Not so with Christ. And I pray not so with you. If you want to get the most out of the story, the most out of life, then you need to do it. You need to engage. You need to live it. Here's some ideas how. Sunday school could always use some additional help in teaching Sunday school. And I'm telling you, nobody learns more from the story or from a message than the person teaching it. You really want to get the most? Teach it. So that's one thing. Another thing is maybe start your own small group. It's like, well, you know, none of those other options that you mentioned work for me. Start your own. Be a facilitator of your own small group. Invite people over to your home and read the story together. It'd be a great thing to do and a great way to serve others. Helping with setup and teardown. Now you might think, well, what does that have to do with the story? It has everything to do with the story. When you come in here and you do the hard behind-the-scenes labor of setup and teardown, you are following the pattern of Jesus Christ. You are being a servant of all. Yeah, that gets you right into the story. How about when the college students come for our spring break blitz? Be a part of that. Just like, you know, I feel weird about it. I'm uncomfortable. I'm scared. Just do it. Jesus frequently would pull together his 12, his disciples, 120 at one point, and sent them out two by two to share with people about the message of the coming kingdom of God. Maybe that would be a way for you to volunteer and be a part. Maybe just look for a need in the church. We're just a small upstart church. There's lots of needs. Don't just talk about them. Get in there and meet the need. Let's make Lifehouse Church a better, more welcoming, attractive place to both the lost and those who are saved. So, volunteer to serve. Deal or no deal? It's a deal. I'm in on that one. Yeah, it's just a deal. It's like, deal? And if anybody says no deal, I'm talking to you later. No. The thing is, guys, the thing is, the story of God is not a game. It's not a game. It's the real thing. It's real life. We read earlier that God has work he still has left to do. He's got this new heaven and a new earth that has not been done yet. That means is that better? I tell ya, our God is good. Well, that's one problem solved. Let me help you with this. All right. So, besides helping us out with our little efforts here on Sunday mornings, God is also involved in a bigger effort of creating a new heaven and a new earth. And that means that we all are participants in this story. God's not done yet. He's still on the move, and he is inviting all of us to participate in it. And Jesus said there are two main types of characters in the story of God. Those who are for God and those who are against God. John chapter 3, verse 36, Jesus said, "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him." There are two characters in the story, guys. Those who are against God reject the Son's role in their lives. We've got some music in the background. Tell them I'm busy. Thank you. Those who are against God reject the Son's role in their life. They live life the way they want to. They're the boss. They're on the seat, the throne of their life. They're calling the shots. They're apathetic towards the ways of God. Those are those who are against God. Those who are for God believe in the Son. They're passionate about God's will for their lives, and they commit their lives to doing God's will. And this is not just a New Testament idea. The Bible is one complete story. And in Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, Joshua makes a pledge. He makes a deal, if you will, before God and Israel. And he says, "But as for me and my household, what will they do?" Who can throw it at me? "We will serve the Lord." That was his deal before God. And he lived it out to his dying breath. And now it's our turn. "As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." That's the most important deal you could make. To choose to entrust your life to Jesus Christ and align your life to God's story. And this series will teach you how to do that. Deal or no deal? Choices between you and God. I hope you're in, because I am. All the way. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you, God, that you have been working in the affairs of mankind from the beginning of earth history. And you're still working now. Right here. in Little Lifehouse Church, in our individual lives. What an amazing God you are. So great, so powerful, yet so personal and so loving. And you invite us into the story that you are doing on planet Earth. And what a rush. What a journey. It's got its ups and downs, its highs and lows, but wow, we're in it with God. And that makes it an adventure worth living. And I want to thank you, God, so much for this church and for your word and for bringing the two together, that together we're going to take this journey. We're going to take this gospel to the ends of the earth. We really want to bring you glory, God. We really do. Bless this effort. Lead us and guide us. Thank you. You are the majestic one in whom is all our delight. In Jesus' name, amen.